Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
JamesAllen.com is the online destination to easily design a customized engagement ring and save up to 50% compared to traditional stores. You pick a diamond, whether it's lab-created or earth-created, James Allen has over 200,000 conflict-free stones. Then you pick your ring setting and metal. And if you need some help, they have real-time diamond consultations available where an expert can walk you through it all. Get 25% off your order at JamesAllen.com code podcast. That's JamesAllen.com code podcast.
You are already inundating our social media with your responses to the most ill-fated coaching hires in sports history. They were never going to work. This is Kim Kardashian and, well, most of her spouses, but definitely Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries. Madonna and Rodman, Dennis Rodman, weren't they? I don't know if they were officially married.
Carmen Electra.
Yeah, we could go on and on about celebrity marriages. Some of these coaching hires, that's a little bit like how it felt. It was never going to work out anyway. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, send your questions to our show Twitter as well for Ask Amy Anything. That's next hour. You can also send your questions to our Facebook page. Many of you still have Bob questions, wedding questions, marriage questions, as if I'm some kind of an expert. Oh, Lordy. Anyway, we will do another edition of Ask Amy Walked Down the Aisle. So past tense, never doing it again. We'll do that sometime on our YouTube channel before the month of February is up, I promise. But I know Jay likes to sprinkle them in. So you can send them again to Twitter or Facebook. We'll do Ask Amy Anything next hour. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Fun to connect with you on this middle show of the work week.
Showtime on the wing right side. Love takes the shotgun snap on first and 10. Looks downfield, scrambles right. Still looking. Throws it back over the middle.
No.
And it is intercepted by the San Francisco 49ers. Coming back the other way with it is Gray Greenlaw. And Greenlaw is still on his feet, cutting to his right of the Green Bay 40, and down he goes. And that will do it.
Play broke down, was scrambling right. Saw Christian over the middle, and you know, tried forcing one into him. Thought I could make the play. Didn't see the backside, so you know, they made a great play.
Jordan Love sees the Packers' run come to an end with an interception that he threw toward Christian Watson, but Dre Greenlaw saw the same thing, and that was the final call of essence from Wayne Larrivee on Packers radio. But man, what a run for Jordan and for the Packers as the youngest team in the NFL. But that might not be the biggest story in Wisconsin sports on this Tuesday night into a Wednesday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We head to Milwaukee now. And from our affiliate there, AM 1250, The Fan, we welcome Steve Pfeiffer. He also has a couple of podcasts, one that talks Packers and one that talks Bucks. So, Steve, let me ask you, the Packers' run nearly upsetting the 49ers or the Bucks making this abrupt coaching change, what's the bigger story right now?
Reese Hoskins signs with the Brewers.
Nice.
There's your positive story for Milwaukee. There's your positive story. They get the Phillies' first baseman. I don't know. But the Packers thing, you know, was awesome. I don't think anybody expected them to be in the playoffs. Nobody really expected them to go to Dallas and win in Dallas. Jordan Love proving, I think, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he's a franchise quarterback going forward, and they'll get to pay him, you know, somewhere in the area of probably $45 to $50 million a year and an extension at some point next summer. So the future is bright. Windows wide open. I think Packer fans are happy. They all want Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, fired still, so we'll wait to see if that happens. But besides that, I think everybody's pretty happy with how that went. Now, the Adrian Griffin thing, I think everybody is kind of stunned. Now, don't get me wrong. There was a portion of the fan base that have been asking for Adrian Griffin to be fired for over a month. So I think the rest of us are stunned that they actually did it, didn't see it coming, until you read the piece in The Athletic and realize this was a whole thing that was coming over a month ago, and we just didn't know.
Why? What went horribly wrong that after half the season, he's out the door?
This is the thing, right? If I hire you to do a job, and then I tell you who you're going to hire to be around you, and you don't know the people, you're really rolling the dice, and you're saying two things. One, I don't trust you to hire your own people. And two, I really hope this works out between you and whoever the other person is, because if it doesn't, then, you know, it's probably going to be a mess. Well, that's what they did. They hired Adrian Griffin, who was of the final three that the Bucks ownership and front office picked out, was the only one that had no head coaching experience at that point. And it was Atkinson, the Golden State assistant, Kenny Atkinson. It was Nick Nurse and Adrian Griffin. Those were the final three that they apparently had Giannis talk to and so forth to see who he liked. Well, according to reports, he apparently does not like Nick Nurse and would not play for Nick Nurse. So he, again, according to reports, wanted to play for a guy that played in the league or whatever. So they went with Adrian Griffin. But then they told Adrian Griffin, you're going to have Terry Stotts, the former Bucks head coach, former Portland Trailblazers head coach, mm-hmm. Damian Lillard's head coach. You're going to be his right-hand guy. You're going to have him. They didn't know each other, had no idea, never met, whatever, no clue. Well, guess what happened? Now training camp comes. And before the season even starts, they're in preseason or whatever, and they have a falling out in a practice, according to a report from The Athletic, where Adrian Griffin wanted the coaches to come together, according to the report. Terry Stotts wanted to talk to Giannis and Milton a little. He yelled for him. Stotts ignored him. He continued talking to him, according to the report. And then Griffin got really mad that he wasn't coming over. And then shortly thereafter that, Terry said, I'm out. This isn't for me. I'm stepping aside. And he leaves. So then they play the season. And again, they get off to a pretty good start. Defense has been an issue from the word jump because Adrian Griffin is changing the defense to more of what they played in Toronto with Nick Nurse, more of a switching type defense. And right away, the players went to him and said, we don't like Brook Lopez, our center, playing this style of defense. He's got to play more drop defense to play more to his strengths and so forth. So Adrian Griffin said, fine, we'll do that. So it's been a kind of a give and go. They get Damian Lillard. Him and Giannis, that pick-and-roll thing has not really materialized at any point.
Right.
The usage rate for Damian Lillard has dropped way off compared to where it was in Portland, which you knew was going to drop off some because he's playing with Giannis now, but it dropped off significantly. And it's 7 minutes less than what Giannis is getting on a night-to-night basis. So that's an issue. Apparently Lillard was struggling with what they were trying to do on offense to begin with. The defense has been a mess the entire time. So as the report in The Athletic goes, from Sham Sharani and Eric Name, that in the in-season tournament, when they lost to Indiana, apparently after that, they went to Adrian Griffin and said, Doc Rivers, Doc, he's in the TV booth. Yeah, he's going to be your consultant going forward for the rest of the season.
Oh my gosh.
Doc, meet Adrian Griffin. Adrian Griffin, meet Doc. Guys, get used to working together. Doc's going to help you be a coach the rest of the year. I believe on that day, Adrian Griffin was essentially fired. Because on that day, that's when they decided Adrian Griffin cannot do this, and we're going to have somebody else come in. And if this doesn't work and he can't figure this out, then Doc is going to have the benefit of having however many days it takes for us to figure out if he can do it or not. In this case, it's been about 30 or so. Now Doc knows everything because he's been watching every game since then, has an idea of what they're running, what works, what doesn't work, has a good idea of what their personnel can and cannot do. So now you give Doc Rivers a job. He walks in. He knows everything there is to know about this team. He's had a month to study them and can implement what he thinks needs to be fixed, and away they go. And that's how this whole thing works out. And, I don't know. You can look at this however you want. To me, it's a little wrong, I guess, in my opinion, how this whole thing played out. Because if you didn't trust Adrian Griffin and you didn't think he should do a job, then he never should have been in your final three that you essentially brought to Giannis to let him pick. You should have went with a more proven head coach in that final three, and instead you screwed this up. And now, fans are all upset because they think Giannis screwed this up by picking Adrian Griffin, but in reality, the ownership and front office screwed this up by having Adrian Griffin in their final three to begin with.
Well, and handcuffing him to different people that he didn't know and didn't have a relationship with. Steve Pfeiffer is with us from Milwaukee talking about this crazy twist in the Bucs season, even as they sit in the top three in the Eastern Conference. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the question that came to my mind as I'm reading all of this, and of course you're telling it from a Bucs perspective. If you wanted a veteran head coach, A, why fire Mike Budenholzer? And B, why not just hire Doc Rivers from the beginning?
Right. The Doc Rivers point is a good one. I don't know. The Budenholzer point, again, going back to Eric Name and The Athletic, the Bucks beat writer, for them, when Budenholzer was let go, there was an in-depth piece that he wrote that pretty much hinted at the fact that the year they went on to win that NBA title, remember they were playing the Nets, and the TNT crew, Barkley and Kenny Smith and those guys, were killing Mike Budenholzer in that series for pretty much not knowing what he was doing, just absolutely killing his coaching style. Well, they figure out how to get through that series. They go on to beat the Hawks. Trae Young got hurt. They go winning the championship against Phoenix. But apparently, everybody within the organization was mad at Bud as far as how that series was going. And if they would have lost that series, according to this report, he was gone. He wasn't going to be back the following year. They were done. And he wins a title, so now they stick with him for a couple more years because he won a title. And then they finally said, okay, enough is enough. We've kind of worn out this whole thing here with this group of players. We need a new voice. So they decided to go in a different direction at that point. Mike Budenholzer has been criticized his entire career for not making adjustments in the postseason and losing playoff series because of being stubborn and not knowing how to adjust. So not being a great playoff coach outside of the one run. What is Doc Rivers known for exactly? The exact same thing, getting out-coached in playoff series and choking away leads in playoff series and costing themselves outside of one run early on with Boston. So you get rid of Bud, you make a mistake with Griffin, and now you're going to replace him with Doc, who essentially has the same flaws as Bud does when it comes to the playoffs.
I can imagine this is a sticky situation for Doc, though, if he was there to support Adrian Griffin, if they developed any kind of a relationship. I know it's the nature of the business, but Steve Pfeiffer with us from Milwaukee. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. How would you change the usage of Damian Lillard or change the way that he is fitting with Giannis or not fitting with Giannis?
They haven't effectively run that pick and roll with him and Giannis like everybody was expecting to see since they've been together. They've attempted to run it, and they haven't run it well. I mean, you can argue that really Lillard and Brooke Lopez probably run it better. Well, they do run it better, way better than what him and Giannis do. For whatever reason, it's been a struggle with both of them, and they don't run it that much. And Lillard, when he first started, didn't like the rotation minutes he was getting as far as how Griffin was using them, and went to Griffin and said, I want to play the whole first quarter, and then I'll come out in the second quarter. And Griffin said, fine. I mean, that's the one thing about Adrian Griffin. He's pretty much said fine to about everything that's been reported as far as what these players wanted.
Right.
Whatever they wanted, he let them do. So what happened was, for a part of the season, when Giannis and Lillard was on the floor, Lillard kind of just held back and let Giannis go be that aggressive guy. And then when Giannis would check out about 5-6 minutes into the game, then Lillard would kind of take over when Giannis went out, when it was him and Chris Middleton, or just him on the floor. Now, as the season has went on, he's become a little bit more aggressive in the first quarter, and you don't see that necessarily as much, but his field goal percentage is down. All of his numbers are kind of down across the board since becoming a member of the Bucks compared to what he was doing in Portland. And originally it's like, well, he's off to a slow start. He'll figure it out. He'll get it going. Well, halfway through the season now. And we're still kind of having the same conversations. And you have an NBA trade deadline coming up, right? That's only, a couple of weeks away. I would love to know how much Doc Rivers has been asked about what he wants at the trade deadline prior to today compared to how much Adrian Griffin was asked what he wanted at the trade deadline.
My gosh. And just to clarify, when they say the window and the sense of urgency, is this about the Bucks trying to win a title this year?
It has to be. I mean, Damian Lillard's a top 75 player. You just traded for him and gave up all those assets. You got to keep Giannis happy, obviously. It has to be about winning a championship. Look, this is, to me, when you have a Giannis, a LeBron, a KD, those type of players, it should be championship or bust every single year. Even if they had Drew Holiday and they didn't have Damian Lillard, it should still be championship or bust because those players are only around for so long. And you've got a guy that's won multiple MVPs. While you have him, you know, you can't take it for granted that he's always going to be there. Otherwise, you end up like Cleveland and LeBron James walks away. You have to always be pushing the envelope. And John Horst, to his credit, the GM of the Bucks, has done that for the most part with Milwaukee. And now you make this type of move because you didn't see this being a championship caliber team. I agree. Didn't look like a championship caliber team to me either, watching this team play here for the last month. But I was stunned and shocked. I thought they'd give Griffin through the playoffs. If it fell apart, then they'd move on in the summer. I did not think they'd move on this quick.
How and where did they miss Drew Holiday?
Probably defensively to a certain degree, for sure. And Lillard hasn't been all that offensively, but he's still better than what Drew Holiday is offensively. Yeah, Drew will give you a night where he'll get you 25 or 30, but Drew will give you a lot more of those 12-point nights than he's going to give you the 25 or 30-point nights, you know. And Holiday works when he's that defensive guy. Like, Boston is perfect because you have Tatum, you have Brown. Porzingis has been a great addition for them, too. So Holiday kind of fits into that third, fourth role score. There's not a ton of pressure, where with the Bucks, you know, if something happens to Giannis, he's got to be that first or second guy, and that Middleton keeps getting hurt on and off. So there was more pressure on him offensively. And, you know, when you get to the postseason, Holiday wasn't always that guy consistently there. He had big moments in the postseason, you know, in a game here or a game there for the Bucks, for sure. But he wasn't that reliable, consistent guy that can go get you 25 or 30 in a big game. Lillard is definitely that guy. They've got to figure out, you know, how to share the basketball and figure out a defensive scheme that obviously works. You have Brook Lopez, who, you know, is a defensive player of the year candidate coming in, blocking shots all over the place. Giannis is the same type of player. And with that, you're one of the worst defenses in the NBA. That should not be the case, even if it's Damian Lillard over Drew Holiday at the guard position.
So Rhys Hoskins then.
Yes. Now let's talk about something positive and happy. Yeah, let's talk about it. Rhys Hoskins, that's their new cleanup hitter for the Brewers. Hey, man, coming into the offseason, I thought the Brewers were going to blow this thing up. I mean, Corbin Burnson last year of his deal, they can't afford to sign him after the upcoming season. Willie Adames last year of his deal, if he has a good year, they can't afford to sign him either. So I really thought that when they decided after Woodruff's injury that they were just going to let him walk, and not bring him back because you don't know how long he'll be out. He could miss the whole year, whatever. I was like, okay, well, now here's your opportunity. You trade Burns, you trade Adames, and you kind of rebuild this thing because they have a ton of young outfielders that came up last year and played a little bit. They're all going to have major roles this year. One of the top prospects in baseball, Jackson Churio, I think he was one or two, depending on the list you looked at. They expect him to be on the major league team at some point this year, maybe opening day. There's a lot of comparisons of him to Ronald Acuna Jr., so we'll see if that pans out or not. So there's a lot of young talent, but it's going to probably take a little while for them to get going. And instead, they decided, no, they're going to try and compete and win a division title one more year. And then they very well may let Burns and Adames walk for nothing. So with that mentality, they desperately needed a first baseman because they've been horrible at first base for the last couple of years. And Hoskins coming off ACL, didn't play last year for Philly. He's going to hit 30, 35 home runs at American Family Field easy and be a true cleanup hitter for the Brewers. I think it's a big signing. Defensively, he sucks, but offensively, he can hit.
As you say, positive news. That's where we'll end. Jordan Love had an incredible second half of the season. What a validation for Matt LaFleur in terms of his coaching. Would you keep Barry or would you make a change?
Oh, he'd be gone yesterday. But look, him and LaFleur are guys. That's why LaFleur hired him, because they've been friends for a long time. You know, Barry was under fire here. Baker Mayfield had a perfect quarterback rating at Lambeau Field, the first guy ever to come into Lambeau and have a perfect quarterback rating, Baker Mayfield. At that point, everybody that was kind of, I don't know about Joe Barry, everybody was like, okay, time to go. That's it. We've seen enough. And they did it. And then they gave up 30 points to the Panthers, and that offense has been horrible this year. They won the game, but they gave up 30. So that was another sign. And then Matt LaFleur got a little bit involved, like he did last year, coming out of the bye week. And this defense turned around, like it did last year, coming out of the bye week, once he got involved in having his voice heard in defensive meetings or whatever was going on. And then this defense played really well the rest of the way up. You can't blame the defense for what happened. Yeah, Purdy had a big drive there at the end, fine. But to that point, you did a heck of a job keeping that offense intact, and you had every chance to win that game against San Francisco. You kept that big Cowboys offense that averaged 37 a game at home completely in check and minimized for the most part. And so you pulled off the dogs there in, what was it, the fourth quarter, and then, you know, gave up a couple touchdowns. So for the most part, you did your job. I think that's enough for Matt LaFleur to tell Brian Gutekunst and anybody else that wants to fire Joe Barry, look at what this guy did here the last four or five games. He did what he was supposed to do. We figured it out. He'll be good for next year. Trust me. And he's under contract. It's not like they have to give him a new contract. He's still got another year under contract here, so they just bring him back, then you move forward. Now, LaFleur did not commit to him coming back. Right. Last year, the end-of-the-year press conference, he said pretty much everybody's coming back. That's the end of it. This year he didn't do it, so I don't know if there's a conversation that needs to happen between him and others in the organization to convince them to keep Joe Barry. But the longer you keep Joe Barry, the more defensive coordinator candidates are going to go off the board to these other coaching staffs. So if they're going to move, they need to move quickly so they don't lose out on some more guys.
Steve's got a couple of podcasts that deal with all things Wisconsin sports. So Curd and Long is the Packers podcast, but you're going to want to get Green and Growing about the Bucks and this twist midway through the season. You can find him on Twitter at Sparky Radio. Steve Pfeiffer from Milwaukee, thank you so much for a couple of minutes and all of the insight.
Always fun. Anytime.
You had no idea that Milwaukee could be the center of the sports universe, or Wisconsin, center of the sports universe on a Tuesday night. But Adrian Griffin catching the league off guard, or the move with Adrian Griffin. And yet sounds like the Bucks front office did not put him in a position to succeed, but then measured him, evaluated him by a standard that was nearly impossible to meet. They made all the moves around him and then expected him to just slot in. And here's the crazy part. The team still won 30 of its first 43 games with him as the head coach. What kind of standard are we talking about? Well, maybe measuring against the Celtics, measuring against the Nuggets as defending champions. It's a lot of teams that aren't going to be able to compete with those guys. But when you've got a core that's in their mid-30s, early to mid-30s, well, the time is now. And how is that on Griffin? 30 wins in 43 games. That's a pretty damn good coaching record for your first time ever. What are the most ill-fated coaching marriages in sports history? The ones that were never going to work out. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. Glad to have you with us on The Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/grow.
JamesAllen.com is the online destination to easily design a customized engagement ring and save up to 50% compared to traditional stores. You pick a diamond, whether it's lab-created or earth-created, James Allen has over 200,000 conflict-free stones. Then you pick your ring setting and metal. And if you need some help, they have real-time diamond consultations available where an expert can walk you through it all. Get 25% off your order at JamesAllen.com code podcast. That's JamesAllen.com code podcast.
Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction. It's stupid. So I explained everything that happened and owned it, and you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
The voice of Urban Meyer. We still hear it frequently on media broadcasts. It may have been over from the start, but it was definitely over when he stayed behind in, I think it was Cincinnati, after the Jaguars had played a game there and decided he would hang out in a local establishment and get photographed in a somewhat compromising position as his team flew back on the plane. If I remember correctly, it was some kind of a late dramatic loss, too. I could be wrong, but I feel like it was some situation where his team may have really needed him. Don't quote me on that. Jaguars and Bengals fans, Urban Meyer fans, you know who you are. You may remember that. But yeah, it felt like it was some night. It was a Thursday night, if I remember correctly, that he stayed behind in Cincinnati. It was a nationally televised game, and we were stunned by the way the game had played out. I do remember it was pretty dramatic. And then somehow he thought that was a good idea to stay behind. Right. Urban Meyer. It was never going to work out anyway. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Let's talk to Mike, who's in Alabama. Mike, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I just got a real quick one, a coaching marriage that was never going to happen, and that's the Atlanta Falcons of Bobby Petrino.
Oh,
that whole
gosh.
Debacle was just absolutely disastrous from the beginning.
It definitely was, and honestly, he's had some pretty disastrous tenures. I cannot believe he's back at Arkansas. I seriously cannot believe it after everything that happened there.
When I heard he was back at Arkansas, I was like, what are you thinking? This is an SEC school. Are you nuts?
Yes, 2007. I had to Google the date because I didn't remember the date. But yeah, what a total debacle and disaster and all kinds of D words.
Yeah, I mean, even though he came in before the Michael Vick scandal, it was what he did during the Michael Vick scandal. I mean, he just up and left the team high and dry.
Right.
And I have no respect for that guy since then.
Agreed. As if we needed another reason to not respect him, the mess at Arkansas with the young woman who he was employing and then riding around on a motorcycle with. But yes, absolutely, he ditched the Falcons and went running back to college. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's it. Well, thank you very much, Amy, and congratulations on your nuptial.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Roger, who's in Washington, D.C. Roger, what do you think?
Yes, good morning, Amy. How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Great. I had three hires that were sort of bad. One by the legendary Michael Jordan. He hired Leonard Hamilton to coach the Wizards in the early 80s.
I forgot about that.
And then it was the late Richie Pettibone, who succeeded the great Joe Gibbs for 1 year. And I did love Richie Pettibone. After all, he was Joe Gibbs' defensive head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the late Paul Westhead that had a little scrub with my man Irvin Magic Johnson with the Lakers.
That's true. I vaguely remember that. That was before I was in the business, long before.
Over the early 80s.
Yeah.
Over the early,
oh, gosh. Then I just remember reading about it. I wouldn't have remembered that.
Right. Those were early 80s hires.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, those are good. Good walks down memory lane.
Right, and have a great trip and success on your speech then tomorrow.
Oh, thank you, Roger. That's very kind of you. I appreciate the support.
All right, take care. I'll be calling soon.
Okay, good. Thank you for listening. Let's talk to Chris, who's in Sacramento. Chris, what do you think? Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, hi. He stole my thunder on Magic Johnson. That was like a debacle. Dang, I didn't. He just beat me to the punch. But that's what I call to say. That was definitely a disaster. 16 games lasted. I think he might have already said that.
16 games, and I thought 43 wasn't very many.
Right, right. And the last thing I'm going to say, I don't know if he said anything just before me, but it was so bad in the locker room because I'm a big diehard Laker fan. And I guess while he was trying to teach plays during the game at halftime, the players would be smoking cigars, Zlati Divac mainly, a.k.a. names were never said. But people were smoking cigars on their cell phones, but he just couldn't take it anymore, the new age of players. But anyways, but I also just wanted to say congratulations on your marriage. I've been listening to you a long time, so at least I wanted to get that out.
Thank you, Chris. Actually, but I appreciate that. Before you go, maybe you misunderstood our last caller because he was talking about Paul Westhead, who coached Magic Johnson.
My bad.
Yeah, so he was talking about that. He wasn't talking about Magic as a coach. So I mean, if you want to talk about it, you certainly can.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, well, he's 94 season. I mean, he was 5-11. You know, of course, I think any Lakers fan or any sports fan. I'm sure in basketball thought that probably would have been a great, floor general, taking on a head coaching job where he, played his professional career at. But, it lasted, like I said, a whole 16 games, went 5-11, and he just quit on that 17th night, I remember. But it was a disaster. I thought about that, and I just wanted to throw that out there.
So. All right. So interesting, too, because he also did the same thing, abruptly quit when he was part of the, I don't know if he was the president or he was just in the front office and abruptly quit. He never could handle being that close to his franchise, but also just not great at making objective decisions. And a lot of times the best players in history don't make great coaches because they can't understand why everybody else won't do the work that they did to be the best.
that's very true. Yeah, he said he was coming in as far as that general manager position he had. He was coming in and he would hear whispers, and I guess people were telling him he was a joke of the office apparently when he wasn't in the office. And that was the debacle too, unfortunately. Well, then I did get it out there because I was just listening to the radio in the background. I thought he stole my thunder. And, but I'm glad, I got that out. So, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you in Sacramento. We appreciate it. So Magic Johnson, I just looked it up, 16 games in 1994. So I was not in the business. I was still in school. But I maybe vaguely remember that, but not really.
I do. I just wonder if it was before or after the Magic Hour. I'm serious. It was right around then. I don't remember. So Magic Hour lasted, what, 6 shows or something like that?
Randy Fund. Also don't remember him. He was 92 to 94. Bill Burtka in 94. Then Magic Johnson.
And it was, if I remember correctly, it was at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And it was almost similar, like Magic, help us out.
Yeah.
And he finished up the year. And then he was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to coach. So I don't think he ever really made a promise that he was going to do it. He helped him out. Yeah, because, I mean, as close as he is with the Lakers and the organization, everything, it was almost like, do us a favor and finish off the year and see if you can get these guys, going a little bit. I mean, Magic's career should have still been going at that point. That wasn't long after he had retired, unretired, come back. Yeah. Like, it was, all that. So he wasn't truly the head coach. He came in and did a favor. And then realized, I don't want to do any of this.
Yeah, Del Harris was right after him, who actually lasted and was a coach of the year. So, Del Harris, and then not long after, the Kurt Rambis one was interesting. I do remember Kurt Rambis as the head coach.
Yeah, and then,
for 37 games.
I was going to say, I feel like he was interim, too. He was interim with the Knicks. Rambis never really got, here, it's your job. If it always felt like he was on all these staffs, Phil Jackson, and then it was kind of like, all right, yeah, when everything goes haywire, you get to take over, and then it doesn't work out well, and then you don't ever get to keep the job.
Phil Jackson was after Rambis.
And then he brought him on the staff.
Right, and I mean. Then was, Rudy Tomjanovich. I forgot about that era.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Tomjanovich. 43 games.
Yeah, he realized that he didn't want to do this.
Same as Adrian Griffin.
Yeah, but he retired, if memory yes. serves. Tomjanovich was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. My health, and I don't want to do this at all.
We're seeing a bunch of people writing about Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. Latest tweet, A-Law Radio says it was doomed from the start. And this one, Marco, I forgot this one. How could I? Freaking Rick Pitino with the Boston Celtics and his ginormous ego. It just like ripped out everything, traded everyone away. I guess the one good thing he did was draft Paul Pierce. If I remember correctly, Paul Pierce was drafted when he was there.
I don't remember. The Rick Pitino Celtics era is basically he tried his best to get the number one pick. He thought he was going to get Tim Duncan. That fell through, and he didn't have a backup plan. And then that famous rant of, you know, Bird Parish and McHale
not
coming
through
the
door. Yeah.
Right, because he thought he was getting Tim Duncan to walk through the door. And when that didn't work out, everything just flamed out, which is a surprise because Pitino, that's the only spot that he didn't have success. Every other spot.
Famous Nick Saban.
Every other spot.
Nick Saban with the Dolphins, right?
Right, but at Nick Saban, you look at it and you go, he only had one head coaching spot in the NFL, and it was with the Dolphins. It was 2 years, and it wasn't successful. Pitino was in the NBA before that, successful with the Knicks. He knew how to coach in the NBA. It wasn't a question of he's a college coach and it doesn't translate. He knew how to coach in the NBA.
He was the punchline to all of my snarky jokes for years because of what he did to the Celtics.
Again,
but he did draft Paul Pierce, so I will give him that.
And again, that was the plan. And he had no backup, which is really shocking. Shocking because, again, he's successful every other spot. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. I really don't.
Right.
I mean, you pivot. I realize if you wanted Tim Duncan, I get it, but you pivot. He had no
Everybody
clue what
wanted
to do.
Tim Duncan.
He had no clue what to do when he didn't get him. He didn't know what to do.
We're going to get to some of your responses on Twitter and Facebook. Good ones that maybe I've repressed them. I can't remember or haven't until I've seen them again online here. The most ill-fated coaches in history. I would say Josh McDaniels in Denver was a pretty bad one, too.
Much better with the Raiders.
True, although you think he would have learned something by then, but apparently not. So, yes, on Twitter or Facebook, phone number, love your calls, 855-212-4227. And then we're about an hour away from Ask Amy Anything, so you can send your questions while you're at it. We did have the latest reveal for the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Some really cool names, some contemporary names that you'll remember if you've been a fan of the game for a few years, some big names. And then also, you're going to laugh, Anthony Rendon. What is he known for lately? Missing all of what feels like three seasons in a row, something along those lines. His evaluation.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone, and with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked, temperature set, lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading BlueLink Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and BlueLink Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
The baseball season will crack you up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray delivers. Hit high in the air, center field. Hicks, long run. Still tracking. Get up, get up. With a grand slam and puts this game away.
And a curveball here is lifted high and deep into left field. Gordon going back. He's slowing down. Looking up. It's gone. Adrian Beltre slams a hanging curve over the wall in left. 5-0 Texas.
The pitch. Long fly ball to right. It could be out of here. Gone! Unbelievable. On cue, Todd Helton with a home run and a standing ovation.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First of all, great song. Great song. It's one of the songs on my running playlist. Second of all, Hall of Fame. Hall of Famer. I've always loved the idea that you are in rarefied air. You're an elite company. And once you are designated as a Hall of Famer, that always goes before your name. Always. It's the title that never gets old, never expires, never loses its shine, never loses its impact. You have to work hard to somehow be known as something other than a Hall of Famer once you reach that designation. And for instance, well, it doesn't matter. Just maybe athletes who've committed major crimes, right? And so they're not known first as a Hall of Famer. But that's an extreme case. Hall of Famer. There is a Radio Hall of Fame. That would be incredible. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. About 45 minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And we are taking, some of them humorous, your tweets and Facebook messages about the most ill-fated coaching marriages in history. Not the ones that lasted the fewest number of games, though I suppose that could be one metric. But the ones that were doomed from the start, they were never going to work out anyway. Never. Why even bother? It was an exercise in futility. It was laughable. We all knew it. Now, hindsight is 20/20. So if you thought it was a great hire at the beginning, I'm not sure you should submit that name. But if you knew it, pat yourself on the back. I can't say that's the case with Adrian Griffin because Giannis backed him 100%. So again, Twitter, Facebook, our phone number 855-212-4227. Worst coaching marriages in sports history. The ones that were never going to work out anyway, and you knew it.
The guy is a Hall of Famer.
We are pleased to welcome Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Joe Mauer, one of my favorites from his time in Major League Baseball, into Cooperstown of the Baseball Hall of Fame. This is really neat and also fun to hear their reactions and see their reactions to when they got in. So we'll just run through them, Producer Jay, if you want to start with Todd and then Joe and then Adrian, just to hear what it was like when they got that phone call from Cooperstown.
I really didn't think the phone was going to ring. And when it rang, I was, I was still in shock. When it said Hall of Fame on it, I was very happy. And, you know, this is something you don't play for, but obviously it's the greatest award you can have as a baseball player.
It was unbelievable. You know, I kind of laid low, you know, during that time of a possible call, and just spent it with family. And now I had to sneak into my office because the number is growing with friends and family down here in my basement. So definitely thrilled to get that call, but very emotional. And, you know, obviously leading up to today, you reflect on all the people that have impact on your career and who you are as a man. And a lot of emotions. It's been a whirlwind, that's for sure.
I was glad that it was over. Obviously, I'm honored. It's something that is amazing to be even just on the ballot. And to be able to now call myself a Hall of Fame is something that I even dream of. You know, I always wanted to be a decent baseball player, good baseball player, but I never thought about being a Hall of Fame. Now that I'm in, it's really an honor. I'm humbled to be called that.
That last voice is Adrian Beltre, and all of those were interviews done with MLB Network. But the crazy thing about him is that he was such a late bloomer. Not that he wasn't a good player, but he did not get the recognition in baseball. Never made an all-star team until 31. You may remember when that happened. For those of you who are longtime baseball fans, it was such a cool thing. And baseball players themselves, the baseball fraternity, as well as fans, were so thrilled to see Beltre finally on an all-star team. And now he's a Hall of Famer. Wow. Again, late bloomer, but the story is incredible. Leroy Butler, who we've spoken to many times here on the show, just getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last year. It took him years. He was disabled as a kid. He told his mom he wanted to play professional football, but goodness, he couldn't even walk. And all the obstacles and the challenges, the adversities overcome by many of these guys. Such incredible stories. So congratulations to this trio. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Around New Year's, we get a little obsessed with changing ourselves and forgetting the things we're already doing right, like taking our supplements every morning or scheduling me time into our day. Therapy helps you recognize those victories and keep up the good work in the new year without changing everything. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy so you can try New Year, Same You with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
When something happens to your car, you might say, but what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Babysitter paid. Pizza ordered. Flowers delivered. You can do a lot of things with your phone. And with BlueLink Plus, you can even access your Hyundai Tucson Limited remotely. Doors unlocked. Temperature set. Lost car found.
Oh, there it is.
Get complimentary class-leading Blue Link Plus. Just another way we make owning a Hyundai Tucson Limited more convenient than ever. Learn more about the new Tucson and Blue Link Plus at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.